Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Reacting to Josh Yowie's report from The Athletic, where he writes, it's not known if Geno Malkin is going to retire from hockey after this season, but from what I've heard, the 2025-2026 campaign will be his final season with the Penguins. I think if he plays beyond this year in the NHL, the Penguins would be wise to ask him to waive his no-move clause and trade him at the deadline. Now, a good text back and forth I just had during the break. Someone writes in, what does playing beyond this year have to do with the price of rice in China? Look, I think if he's going to play in the NHL in a different sweater, then you may as well get something for him instead of letting him walk and sign someplace else at the end of the season. And the texter writes back, but if he isn't going to play here, why wouldn't you, or if he isn't going to play overall, why wouldn't you try to get something for him anyway? I would. But I think the Penguins would try to keep him as a one-sweater guy. I think that changes the math for them. Let Malkin get his flowers this year. Let him play out his NHL career in Pittsburgh. And if he wants to go to Russia, okay, so be it. But he'll never play in another uniform in the NHL. I think that probably means something to them. But if he's going to do it either way at the end of the year, which at least it seems like is a possibility, why not get something for him at the deadline? Jeff Hathorn joins us now to get into that and a whole bunch of other stuff, including the U.S. Open. Jeff, did you get your rest yesterday? Did you take a long nap? Maybe some chamomile tea, something like that?
Yeah, I got my rest. Yeah. I mean, listen, the way that thing ended was pretty awesome. It's almost like you wanted more, you know? I mean,
I wanted a playoff, man. Give me a playoff and then have it go dark and we start it back up again on Monday. That would have been a blast.
It is the one thing that I wish we had more of here is pro golf. I mean, it's basically once a decade. And those tournaments are so cool. I mean, to watch the skill of those guys is just, I mean, it's insane when you think about some of the conditions they were playing through.
Yeah, and then complained through in a number of different cases, like Rory McIlroy. And you didn't beat up any lockers on the way out, did you, Jeff?
No comment.
While we're on it.
No comment.
Because I do want to get into the Penguins thing with you and a bunch of other stuff here, too. We'll kind of jump around. But yeah. I did not hear this yesterday. I saw it in the show notes that there's maybe some whispers that Rory could be joining Liv. I think that would actually make him a bigger traitor than Benedict Arnold, dude.
There was a whisper. I mean, I haven't heard anything really credible to that extent.
Okay.
And I mean, I would hate to think that it's somebody just throwing something out there because they're upset with Rory. But yeah, it's a weird situation. I mean, it's like a guy that everybody was pulling for in the Masters. And after he won it, like in his mind, he's trying to figure out, okay, what now? What's my motivation now? And
right.
He's openly questioned it in the few opportunities we've had to talk with him. And I said this with Pony. I do think he believes in his mind that because he was available and because he was the face of the PGA Tour during the whole Liv thing, that he's kind of owed something back. Like, hey, I know I had a driver that didn't test legal, but don't throw me under the bus like that. Remember all the times I talked and did all this stuff? Like, scratching backs. That's what we're talking about here. And I think, I don't know if he has a full understanding. And I think also, you know, there were other people who had the same driver who failed, but it was Rory's name who came out.
Right, of course.
So he was a little annoyed that it was just him. And I get that to an extent. But I think it's more not a thing with the media as it is. He's just trying to find out, you know, why am I doing all this now? Like I've done the thing. Now what's my motivation? He's not a guy like locked in like a Tiger, locked in like a Scheffler, where there's always something to play for. I think he needs it maybe playing the Open about an hour from his house will be a motivator for him.
Jeff Hathorn with us here on the Fan Morning Show. I thought it was terrific that J.J. Spahn made that long putt to win, and he finished under par and was the only guy to finish under par. That's almost the perfect ending for me at a U.S. Open at Oakmont. The only thing I could have asked for was maybe more big names in it at the end, Jeff, but I thought it was apropos of the difficulty of the course that one guy finished under par and it was the winner. That's perfect to me.
And he finished under par by taking advantage of a couple of opportunities. Yep. He hit a perfect drive on 17. Perfect. And then, you know, taps in for birdie, takes the lead, gets up on 18 where he had bogeyed the last 2 days on that hole, and does what few had done and hit one in the fairway. Hits a nice safe shot, much like a Nicklaus or a Scheffler would do. Just get it on the green. And then I think he really benefited from Hovland having basically the same putt before him and blowing it by. And he said he had a good read on it, and damn, he did.
I mean, that's ballsy too, man. It really is, because he goes for the hole. If he misses, that thing had some pace to it. It could have been a par putt that would not have been a gimme. Like, that's the thing I think people miss on that. Like, oh, he had two opportunities. Yeah, but the pressure on the second putt, had he missed, my head would have popped.
Yes. And you got to take the entire day into consideration here. You would know, because you have kids about the same age as him. You got one throwing up at 3 a.m. and you're in a hotel. I don't care if you've got a separate room. I mean, you got the biggest day of your life, of your golfing life coming up, and the kid's throwing up. You're running to the pharmacy at, 3 a.m. to get medicine. And then you show up, what I love is he showed up to Oakmont in like cargo shorts and a t-shirt, which normally would have him arrested. And he just shows up, strolls in, you know, and he has that bad luck where he hits the pin on 2. He hits a rake a little later. Then they have a rain delay. He comes out and he's like, he just battles. And he keeps battling. And at one point, they had 5 people tied for the lead. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then he just decided, all right, this is mine. And he took it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jeff Hathorn joining us here, and you had just tremendous coverage from the Open all week long. It was just awesome stuff. I can't get enough. I'm wearing my Oakmont hat now. I had the privilege of getting there on Sunday. Just an awesome event, and I would recommend to everybody in 2033. Switching gears here, Jeff. The report from Josh Yowie yesterday saying that Malkin is going to play his final season with the Penguins this year, but maybe not necessarily his last season overall. I think he's probably likely to retire or go to Russia, but it did leave open the possibility that he could play in the league next year. Do you think they would ask him to move his trade clause at the halfway portion of the season?
Maybe, but I think they probably feel his value. I mean, I don't know what his value would be on the open market. I mean, I guess if he was having a really good first half, maybe there'd be some value for a team.
You know what, Jeff, not to interrupt, but I was just looking at what Brad Marchand got in return, and it was a conditional second round pick that's now going to turn into a first round pick. And I know they're completely different players.
Right.
But from a production standpoint, Malkin 68 games last year and had 50 points. Marchand 71 games, 51 points. From a production standpoint, pretty similar.
Production standpoint, similar. But what Brad brings, as much as he can be hated, he brings an edge that Gino doesn't. I mean, there's an intangible, big-time intangible with Marchand that isn't there with Gino. I do think this franchise, even though it's changed ownership, and who knows what might happen in the future, I think they value somebody that would still be a gate attraction in the second half of the season. We'll see. I mean, a lot of it would depend on what kind of year he has. I would hope for him that he doesn't just become some kind of NHL drifter late in his 30s into his 40s, that if he's going to play, he would just, you know, maybe there's probably something deep down of like playing back home, even if it's just for a season.
That's my read as well. Jeff, the Steelers, according to a bunch of reports last night, gave Deshaun Elliott a 2-year deal. What's your read on that? And does it have anything to do with Minkah Fitzpatrick and his $23-ish million cap hit the next 2 years?
I think it's more that they like them as a combo.
Okay.
I mean, Elliott hits. They've thrown some different guys in there that haven't worked. And I mean, Elliott told his first day of OTAs, he's like, man, I love it here. They love me. I feel wanted. I'll do anything for these guys. And, you know, I feel like they make it so my game is free. He had a career high in tackles last year. I just think it's a good fit for him. They recognize that and were able to use some of that available money to lock him up for a couple of years. I think it's a good signing. I think he's a good, solid player. And potentially, I mean, he just turned 28, and I think he's got a few good years. And it seemed like he and Minkah had something, and you love the attitude, and I like the signing.
I don't want to go all like Jeff Harding's James Ferrier here, but as we look over the early tenure of Omar Khan, I mean, this is a hell of a player that they've acquired, and they're going to keep him relatively cheap over these next few years. I thought that guy was, I don't know, maybe the third best player on the defense last year. I thought he was actually better, different roles, no doubt, but I thought he was better for what he was asked to do even than Minkah was.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, I mean, this is his fourth team in his relatively young career, and I think sometimes it's just about the fit. Mm-hmm. I think the fit is just right here. And I think he and Minkah think the game well. And I think with Slay back there, I think there's a chance that secondary is going to be pretty decent, especially if, you know, it's a very motivated TJ on the outside looking to wreak havoc.
Jeff, this was delightful. Always love chatting with you. And the coverage last week, man, was second to none. It was really fun having you on our show every single hour, and we were following along on social media and on the website, man. So awesome stuff, and really cool that you were able to be out there the whole time. Did you sleep there?
I avoided it. I was wondering if I might have to sleep there because the car would be stuck in grass somewhere. But no, it was, trust me, if for people that have never been out there, like, think about it. It's an awesome event. It's such a fun event. And even through the weather, man, those volunteers out there, yes, and the Oakmont grounds crew, they were unbelievable to get that course playable with all the rain it got.
I thought it went
to them
flawlessly from a fan relations standpoint too. It was easy to get in. It was easy to get out. They had hydration stations. They had thought of everything. Just a world-class event.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for the kind words, and a quick shout out to Oakmont Bakery for being a host for us. They were awesome.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Jeff, thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Sports director Jeff Hathorn. The coverage was outstanding. Outstanding. Locally, it wasn't going to get any better than what Jeff was providing, and Mulsey with Going Low.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.